Live from the Bills' famous cheese spread studios in the downstairs pub, the Blockout Sports Pod is back on the air. From behind the master control desk in the aforementioned downstairs pub, I am your host and moderator for this evening. My name is Travis Carter. Behind me, keeping track of our picks, helping us to produce the show, keeping us on time tonight, you know him as Mr. Electricity. He is Whiteboard Jody. Over my right shoulder at the high top table is the big fella, the tuna country, Matt Kempf. And bellied up to the bar tonight is not the fabulous one. The fabulous one is on one of his myriad trips to Florida, to Gulf Shores, Perdido Key area. As we have mentioned before, he is the unofficial mayor of that area of Florida.
I thought it smelt better down here.
But we will have Freddie calling in beachside for those of you that have listened to us from the beginning. This will be, I don't know, the third, maybe fourth time that we have had that particular opportunity to talk to him from the beach. We will get to him here in a little bit, but sliding into the fabulous one's chair tonight is an equally fabulous guy. We've got Eric Eichenberger, who, if you are a listener to our show, more commonly known as Ike, he is Kentucky's greatest Celtics fan. And with the Pacers and the Celtics squaring off in the Eastern Conference Finals, game one, as we record this, will be starting in about 25 minutes. We thought it would be nice to have Ike come in and talk about the Pacers-Celtics series, and he certainly will. Want to remind everybody that we are on social media. We did, after my plea of last week, we did pick up some new followers on Twitter, a couple on Facebook. But please, we would love for the amount of people that listen to the show every week to equal the amount of followers we have on social media. So if you have not done so yet, please follow us on Twitter at Blockout Pod. Type in Blockout Sports Pod to your Facebook search engine, and you can find us there. So with all that being said, last week we did spend a bulk of the program previewing the PGA Championship, which was contested about 30 minutes from here at Valhalla Golf Club. The golf tournament, as we all anticipated, was really a thriller right down to the final hole. It came down to the last putt. But unfortunately, that was not the story that most of the world of sports and specifically the world of golf latched onto. Unfortunately, that would be the fact that the number one player in the world, Scottie Scheffler, was arrested, arraigned, put in an orange jumpsuit, and barely was able to get back to the golf course in time to make his tee time. Now, off the front of this, before we go any further, I do want to say I understand that it was a, we might make light of some of the stuff that happened, but what is not to be made light of is the fact that someone tragically was fatally injured out there on Friday morning in a terrible accident. And I feel like that has been lost to a certain extent in all of the craziness surrounding. The reason that Scottie Scheffler's incident happened was because someone unfortunately lost their life out there on Friday morning. So I wanted to get that out of the way. Of course, we send our condolences and thoughts to the family of the gentleman who was tragically killed. But I will say that when I woke up Friday morning and immediately rolled over and flipped my phone, see what time it was, see if anybody was out on the course yet. And the first thing I saw was Scottie Scheffler detained. I honestly thought it was a joke. Like somebody was making a joke that the most low-key, well-mannered guy on the PGA Tour had done something to get himself arrested. And come to find out, that was not the case. Tuna, what were your thoughts when you heard that for the first time?
Well, my immediate thought is I'm a little bit hurt that the first thing you did was not look at my text to say that Scottie Scheffler was in jail. You went to social media first before you read my text.
I did. I feel like I should
take priority. If I'm texting that early in the morning, it should mean something serious is going on.
That's probably true. Although I am used to getting texts from Fred.
Oh, at like 3, 4 a.m.
At 4 o'clock in the morning, and I usually just skip those altogether.
Understand.
So
okay, I'll give you a pass.
It was probably on our blockout thread. And I probably just assumed if I got one before I woke up that it was from him and it was probably nonsense.
Yeah, Tuna, we talked for, an hour before either one of them
responded? Yeah, we were going back and forth. So, yeah, okay, I'll give him a benefit of the doubt there. He had to sort through some stuff to get there. But, I seen it. I had just made a cup of coffee, hadn't even taken a drink yet, pulled up the Twitter machine, looked at it, and the first thing I seen was there was a fatality. And I was like, oh, my God, that's awful. And then the next thing down was a video of Scottie Scheffler in handcuffs. And it says he's going to jail and there's nothing you can do about it. And my immediate reaction was Scottie Scheffler ran someone over. And that's immediately where my brain went. And then, like, I had to sort through it and find out all what was going on a little bit. But, that's definitely not what I expected to wake up to. Like, if anybody, like Scottie Scheffler of all people, to be the one arrested. You know, like Rory McIlroy, I would understand completely.
Oh, give me a break.
I mean, I'm just saying.
Give me a break. Give me a break. It would likely be Brooks Koepka. We all know that Brooks Koepka has no respect for law enforcement or first responders. He's out there flaunting the norms of society on a daily basis.
I don't know, man. I think he represents himself well. Except on Saturdays.
The first police video where you see a police officer talking, I think his exact words are big burly guy, and he goes, he's going to jail and there ain't nothing you can do about it.
Yeah.
And he's as he's smiling, and he said, now who are you?
Yeah.
Yeah, and because he thought that the guy that was following him was like a friend of Scheffler's. Mm-hmm. And the guy, he goes, he's going to jail. There's nothing you can do about it. The guy goes, I don't care. I'm a reporter. I'm just trying to figure out what's going on. He goes, oh, okay.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't necessarily want to get into the I don't even know what, political isn't the right word, but the ins and outs of the police here in this town or anything like that. But what I do want to get into is the fact that, again, Louisville was put in the national spotlight and put on, by all accounts, a tremendous tournament. And the thing that we're going to remember about this particular tournament is that Scottie Scheffler ended up in jail.
Hold on. I want to talk about this for a second.
Yeah, please.
That's one thing, and I was a little bit disappointed in some of our local talking heads immediately after this when I was just listening to some of our morning talk show hosts locally to try to figure out what was going on. And the immediate reaction that I'm hearing when I turn the radio on is they're never going to come back to Louisville again. This is such a black eye for the city of Louisville.
Right.
Blah, blah. All right, let me ask you guys a hypothetical. Let's just say that Super Bowl's being held in Nashville. And this is definitely a hypothetical because I'm going to say the Cincinnati Bengals are playing in the Super Bowl. Ja'Marr Chase gets arrested on his way into the Super Bowl for a traffic incident. Do we immediately look at the city of Nashville and be like, oh my God, I can't believe they're doing this?
No.
It was that 2020 year, man. It was just a lot of people are already still weird about downtown and stuff, you know?
But honestly, I don't think nationally, I don't really think that holds a lot of cachet nationally anymore, because in the way that we, that the news cycles move today, I don't even think people put, a lot of people, now people like us that lived through it here in town, put two and two together. But I think nationally, a lot of people don't even really remember. Now, they might remember that happened, but they probably don't even remember it happened in Louisville. I think there was already a feeling amongst some here that since the PGA of America doesn't own Valhalla anymore, that it was going to be difficult for Valhalla to get another major. So maybe that, like, they were afraid this would push it over the edge. But I'm 100% with you, Tuna. When I heard that, I thought, well, this should have nothing to do with the fact that it was obviously an unfortunate, tragic accident that took place. And then the aftermath of that was, depending on your view of it, in my opinion, also tremendously unfortunate. But I wouldn't think that that would be like the line of demarcation that they say, well, they arrested Scottie Scheffler, we can never go back there.
That's what I'm saying. People are like, oh my God, the public perception of the city of Louisville is just going to be awful. And I'm like, I mean, when Rashee Rice gets arrested in Dallas constantly, which seems to happen like every 15 minutes, I don't hold Dallas accountable for that. Like, I mean, you know
you
what
should.
I mean? Well, maybe so, but I don't know. We just immediately was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe our cops are doing this. Our city looks like assholes. Our city looks stupid. We're screwing up. They're never going to come back.
No. Yeah. There are several things that can be true.
Mm-hmm. I'm just saying the jumping to conclusions by our local radio host.
Right.
To automatically assume a whole bunch of stuff.
Like, and this is strictly me speaking. I do not, and we've said this before on other things. I don't speak for the other people in this room. I don't necessarily speak for the Blockout Pod as a whole. This is my personal opinion that you can think that the cops look like assholes and that it was a complete overreaction on their part. But then you can also think that that shouldn't have anything to do with the fact that they put on a tremendous golf tournament. And it really was, and this is going to sound terrible, because I know someone was killed, but it was a tragic accident and it was pouring down rain. And we don't still know the circumstances that led to the accident or to the aftermath of the accident. So you can believe all those things are true and then also believe that those things should have nothing to do with the fact that Valhalla should get another major. Now,
I just don't see how we can sit there and say, like, automatically get on and start saying this cop acted like an asshole when, like, we didn't know.
No.
You know what I mean?
You
they
can't.
Were automatically judging. People were judging Scottie Scheffler saying he screwed up, and people were judging the cop saying he screwed up when nobody knew what exactly happened.
Here's the thing, and I'm not saying it's my opinion, but an easy way to question that is he conveniently didn't have his body cam on.
Well, apparently,
I mean, that happens a lot when stuff goes down.
That was talked about by a local attorney that I think Greg Pointer, is that his name, that comes on Diener's show quite a bit in the mornings, local guy. He was saying that when a cop gets put out on like, they don't leave their body cams on when they're doing certain situations because the amount of footage. There's times to turn it on and times when not. And this was actually a time that it didn't ask for protocol for that to be turned on. He was investigating a crime scene right there. He wasn't, like, directing traffic.
And I also think, and we are all predisposed to our own, you know, our own prejudices or biases as they relate to serious situations like this. And my immediate predisposition is to think, okay, you have the most mild-mannered, well-behaved professional golfer in the world, and then you have a police force that has been known for perhaps not being the best at de-escalation.
Yeah, it's putting an entire police force on like a couple people's. Yeah,
you know,
And again, Scottie Scheffler may seem nice and all that, but we all have
our own biases.
I'm with you.
We all have our own feelings about that. But the fact of the matter is, like you said, Tuna, we don't know what happened. That will all come out, I would think. And, you know, all these people that are saying, well, he was charged with the felony. I'll tell you this. If that thing makes it to court as a felony crime, I will run the Derby City Marathon next year.
Well, they pushed it back. They had the thing. Well, I think if it, they pushed the arraignment back to June 3rd, and the judge says he does have to appear, so he'll be here next week.
I felt like if they weren't going to proceed with it, it would have been dropped already. The fact that this prosecutor wants to proceed with it, and when it gets out of circuit court and goes to district court, that's when it'll probably get dropped, because you're going to get an entirely new prosecuting attorney.
It will never make it as a felony case.
I don't think so either.
It flat won't.
Plus, he's got Steve Romine's dog.
Yeah, I hear you.
I mean, that's all you got to say. He's got freaking Steve
and Romine. I don't know what this prosecutor, like what he has to gain. He must have some information that he wants to continue, you know, pursuing this, because he was very adamant about it today, and Steve Romine's kind of made him look like an idiot, but... I don't know. It's all legal stuff, and I don't know the legal, and I don't claim to. Well, so
let me say this real fast.
Yeah.
You guys might already talked about this, but the reason at first everybody was questioning why he had orange on, but do you think he done that so he didn't want to get the picture taken in the Nike symbol?
Well, that's what apparently he did request that.
Had you heard that, Travis?
Yeah, he did request
it. Yes, because that makes sense.
Yeah.
I got that from somebody at work, so I thought that was interesting, because I was like, I'm not saying when you go to jail, nobody puts orange on unless you're going to be there for like a week or something. Exactly. Man.
You got to look at it this way. I like to look at the glass half full. They provided him breakfast and gave him a place to stretch before the round. Yeah. So, you know, there's two positives there.
I wonder what the other people in jail were thinking when they just see this dude in there doing weird golf stretches. That asked to be put in an orange jumpsuit. They're all in there in their regular clothes, and they're like, who's this guy?
Oh, my gosh. I hadn't thought about that, Ike. That's actually a really good point, that he didn't want that mugshot to be put out across the world with the big swoosh on
his head. Well, Nike didn't want it either.
Yeah. Well, right.
So, you know, yeah.
So, we've got that out of the way. Now, on to the golf.
Yeah, which was great.
You know, Valhalla, it kind of reminds, not in the layout or anything like that, but Valhalla does remind me to a certain extent of a course like St. Andrews, where if the wind isn't blowing at St. Andrews does not have doesn't offer a lot of challenges to the best golfers in the world.
Especially with how long these guys are hitting the ball now.
Right, and Valhalla is much the same. The conditions were soft all week. Did you guys happen to see
the snake? Yes.
Well, yeah, that was something.
He stole the show.
Did you happen to see what the field was relative to par?
Under 263
versus the second best score relative to par,
under 49
in the history of the PGA Championship. I'll pull it up on my...
In majors in general. It was 263 under, and then it was minus 40-something under par.
It was all on Sunday, though.
So this was this is the lowest combined score to par by the field in the history of the PGA Championship. Strictly the PGA Championship. Okay. In 1995... at Riviera Country Club, the field was 40 over par. That is the second best score relative to par in the history of the PGA Championship. This year at Valhalla, they were 214 strokes under par. So that's a 254 shot difference in the history of the PGA Championship. Valhalla is a cool layout. They can't make it long enough to, because the greens are relatively flat. The rough is not necessarily difficult. If they were to have another major there, I would anticipate some green restructuring and excuse me, and that they would let the rough grow. Because I thought it was pretty rough. It wasn't. Guys were still able to get it out. It wasn't like a U.S. Open or Augusta or anything that. I would anticipate that. And dude, I love the fact that two guys shot 62. I thought that was awesome. I'm not necessarily saying that a major championship should be ever minus 20 or whatever it was, but I think the PGA would love their winner to be about 12 under.
I'm going to say, as a spectator, and I think the viewership numbers agree with me by the ratings, that I would rather watch a tournament where guys are hitting shot after shot after shot competing with each other, where if you're four back going into, you know, the last five holes, you got a shot to win this thing. I like seeing that. It opens the field up. You have a lot of big names on the leaderboard. I'd rather watch that than dudes scraping and clawing to make a shot in the U.S. Open. You know what I mean?
And here's kind of the flip side to that, because I kind of like the U.S. Open because somebody can be up three shots with two holes to go, and they miss the fairway by 6 yards, and they can't advance the freaking ball.
Yeah. I'm with you, but like the odds are, though, that you're going to have more and more. Like, just, it was so electric out there Sunday, where you just hear a crowd roaring over here, a crowd roaring over here, one roaring up here. It was just like shot after shot. These guys were just being nails, and I thought it was exciting as hell.
The viewership
blew it out of the water. I forget what the numbers were.
I haven't seen what the numbers were. But I will tell you this.
7.8 million, I think, average. And that was why the Pacer game was going on. The NFC or the NBA East Finals.
The local community of Louisville, as they always do for an event like this, turned out and showed up. And it was just from a strictly a what's a theatrical standpoint, it was wonderful television because the crowd was so massive.
Record crowd ever for PGA.
Over by like 100,000.
So I very much enjoyed that. I also enjoyed the fact that Fred and I.
Here, real quick. It was a 10% increase in any PGA championship since or awesome. Before.
And that's great. And I mean, all those things should. Those should all be, you know, pluses on the side of Valhalla. And not to mention the fact this is Valhalla's, fourth PGA Championship, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And the Ryder Cup.
And two seniors.
But I don't remember what happened in the seniors. But all the PGA Championships we've had here have all come down to the last hole or a playoff. The Ryder Cup was tremendously exciting. So it does lend itself, obviously, to having these great finishes. And I would be surprised if Valhalla does not get another one. I don't know about all the political machinations behind the scenes and all that, but I would be surprised if they don't get another one.
Well, if you watch the Golf Channel at all, there's Brandel Chamblee and I forget who's the guy from, he's from Scotland or England that's on there. Do you know
Faraday?
What I'm talking about? No.
I don't know. Other guy.
They asked him, they said, take the rain. Say it didn't rain this week because between Tuesday and Friday it rained over 2 inches. They said, take the rain out of this. What would the scores have been? He said they would have been 12, 13, 14 under. That's how much the rain played a factor and how soft the greens were and everything else this week.
I do agree with Travis, though. There is something, if they spent a lot of money kind of redoing those greens to make them a little bit more challenging, I could see where that would be it. But
I think that's the thing that they're going to do.
Yeah.
Is just make it so that not necessarily making it more difficult to get there, but once you get there, to make it more difficult. Like, I mean, I'm not saying it has to be a tabletop like Augusta, but just making it a little more difficult. But Fred and I did have Xander Schauffele in our draft, and so we were both very happy when he made that putt on 18. I thought he showed, I mean, he was just solid all week, obviously, and every time people challenged him, he made the shots he needed to make, and that was a very ballsy putt that he made on 18. And speaking of ballsy putts, as much as I'm not necessarily a fan of his, and Toon and I were talking about this off the air, what can you say about Bryson DeChambeau? You know, I I think he made a lot of new fans.
Definitely.
Over the weekend. And I think him lining up that putt on 18 and then sinking it, and then how gracious he was after Xander won, I thought all those things reflected very nicely on him. So I was happy for that.
His biggest moment of the day was when he gave the kid the golf ball.
Yes.
And that grown man goes in and intercepts the ball, and Bryson stopped him and made him give that ball back.
Right.
And I mean, that's
– as he should, and yeah, good for him.
I know. So, like, I think the way he's carrying himself now, you can tell he's really grown up a lot. When I mean, I guess we tend to judge these guys. I mean, he was probably, what, 23, 24 when he was probably the most hated on tour. And I try to put myself in the place of, like, where I was at when I was 23, 24. And you can tell that he's grown up and matured a lot, and he handles himself a lot better on the golf course.
Yeah, now. And I was reading a thing today. I think it was on the No Laying Up on their Twitter, and they were saying that behind the scenes, not from a fan standpoint, but from the other players, there was nobody on tour that other players disliked more than him for years.
Mm-hmm.
And that to a certain extent, and I am not a LIV Golf fan, I will never be, but they were saying that the team aspect of LIV Golf has forced him to almost be more of a social person and get to know the guys that he's playing with and things like that, and that that has actually made a difference in his personality.
Yeah, and have you noticed how quick he's playing now? He used to be the slowest guy on tour.
Yeah, he was.
I mean, it was absurd to watch. And
when on 18, when he hit out of that sand trap,
dude, he just moved right along.
They even made a point of it on television. Nance said, "Well, he's not wasting any time here, is he?" Because he almost hit before they could get the camera onto him.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you're right. But all that being said, it was a really exciting tournament, and even with all the craziness, I think Valhalla came out looking pretty good. And I hope like crazy that we get another one.
I thought it looked great. Like just picturesque, like on television. I think that course is beautiful. It's just, I don't know. I love the way that it played. I know people, golf nerds, are going to complain about it. It was too easy, whatever. I enjoyed the hell out of every minute of that tournament.
And honestly, that's what it shouldn't be. People like me, they're like, oh, minus 21 in a major. That's yeah, kind of crazy. It should be, because all of us are going to watch anyway.
For sure.
No matter what the final score is. What they need to get is people that don't necessarily watch golf that much and go, oh, I'll flip this on. And they see that number, minus 20. Oh, minus 20. Oh, my God. That's crazy. And then they're seeing these guys throw darts and hitting all these putts. That's what you need to, quote-unquote, grow the game.
And yeah, and what's wrong with one of the majors being like that? Like, you know you're getting at Augusta. U.S. Open's going to be low scoring. Have one where they just slug it out. You know
and,
what I mean?
And the PGA typically is that tournament. Yeah. This one was just a little bit.
Yeah, you don't like seeing them in the 20s.
It was a little bit to the top level of what I like. But like you said, I mean, they're not. I'm going to watch if they play it at Seneca, you know.
I'd watch the hell out of that thing.
But Does anybody have any final thoughts on the PGA?
Well, I compare it to, you talk about low scoring for like the U.S. Open. Us as baseball fans, the people that are down here, we like a good, exciting 1-0 pitcher's duel every once in a while, but it's also fun to go to the ballpark and hear the crack of the bat and see them flying over the outfield wall. And so that's what you need in sports. I think Valhalla did a great job. The PGA did a great job.
You'll get to see a lot of that up at Great American Ballpark this weekend.
Oh, boy. Well, let's save that for...
Can you cut his mic off, please?
I was just saying.
Let's save that for last call.
Uh-huh.
As we mentioned before, Freddie is currently beachside in Perdido Key Gulf Shores area. We are going to take a very quick break, and when we come back, we will have the fabulous one live on the air. Stay tuned, folks.
He's got crabs.
As promised, we are joined from the panhandle of Florida by the fabulous one, Freddie Benders, the, as we have mentioned multiple times before, the unofficial mayor of that part of the state. Fred, glad to have you here tonight. Sorry you can't be here in person, but, you know, you do spend 5-6 months down there, it seems like, in Florida. How are things going down there? And just give us a lay of the land. What's been going on since you've arrived?
Well, hell, I thought y'all forgot about me. At first, I was going to go back down and do another gainer in the pool. No, man, I got my pineapple mango high noon on ice right here on the balcony, checking out the sun going down. The little ones are running around the hot tub. Calm before the storm. You know how that goes when you're here for a holiday couple weeks.
Sure.
Nobody, it's a little quiet here now. You know, there's no smegma in the hot tub with 14 deep.
Oh, my God.
The kids are in there hanging out, wide open, baby. I love
it. Am I going to have to...
Condo, there's like 15 dudes that weigh 200 pounds, and they're like, come on, dog, get in the pool. Like, you ain't ever been to a hot tub. And some of them are indoors. I don't mess with them, but...
You know, indoor hot tubs, or...?
You know what's funny, though, man? I love how you say, Freddy's in Florida. Well... I love it when people ask me, like, so where are you at? Where did you go? I'm like, oh, Perdido Key. And they're like, ooh, wow, sounds great. And I'm like, oh, yeah. You know, that's just a fancy name for Gulf Shores, Alabama. It's just to the left about, I don't know, a half a mile, couple Publixes down.
Right.
I think he picked up a new accent while he's been down there.
And we are quite familiar with Perdido Key, and you are right. When you say Perdido Key, people think that you're down like, oh, is that between Key Largo and Key West?
Right, yeah. Oh, man, you're in Key Largo. Wow. Are you listening to the Christopher Cross sailing right now in your yacht? No, just sitting here at the Phoenix, baby.
Well, and there is absolutely nothing wrong with that. I love that area of Florida. We've had great times there in the past. But I wanted to get your thoughts, Fred. We just finished talking about the PGA that was here at Valhalla. And just kind of wanted to get what your thoughts were about maybe some of the craziness that happened on Friday, but more importantly, about the tournament itself.
I'm sure Tuna and all y'all nailed the drunk tank incident, but what can you say about that? We'll probably talk about that a little bit more. Man, largest crowd in PGA history.
Right.
We knew the tickets sold up big. Lowest winning score in PGA history. I mean... You know, I know Joe, Mr. Electricity called, called the Shopley Wind, but I remember, if y'all remember after the show, we do our show so early it's hard to make predictions, sorry, but I was just had this weird feeling about Shopley finally winning one, his first one in Louisville. I thought that'd be so cool. I mean, dude, he was, in 2017, he was a rookie. And his first major, if y'all didn't know, was 2017 U.S. Open, and he was fifth. And finished his rookie season in the top five. I mean, this guy, get ready, because he's going to, now that the pressure's gone, he can smile. Man, have you ever seen a kid smile so big now? I mean, he is, you can just tell the pressure is gone. Watch out for Shopley. You know, I know there were some hiccups in Louisville. Unfortunately, some really bad tragedy struck there. Of course, we're all sorry to the family for that. But, man, it was a, it still was a great finish, a great tournament. I think they can do some things a little bit better. You know, like guiding the number one player in the world in through the front door differently. But, dude, I'll tell you another thing. Lastly, I'll finish up with this. Well, for one thing, I think your next major champion, first-timer, I'm calling it now, Victor Hovland, I think he's the next guy that's going to win one that hasn't won one yet.
Yeah, he was right there, and he has the game, clearly.
That's my call, man.
He has the game that that suits itself to major championships. For sure.
I know Tuna and I make fun of Shambo, but dude, I gotta tell you, after this tournament, I've somewhat become a little bit of a Shambo fan.
We were just talking about that.
And he gave the crowd what they wanted. I mean, dude, I love that stuff, man, and so does everybody else. And, you know, I even thought back, Travis, when we started first playing golf, when I started really first getting into it, you know, I had my my dad chop my clubs because I felt like they were too long. And he chopped my clubs so I could lean down on them. And I never could hit the ball far because of that reason. I cut kind of the torque out of what you're supposed to be doing. But I was never measured for them. But he cut them all down. And I kind of feel like I'm followed in the footsteps of, I don't, my clubs aren't like that anymore. But I kind of followed in the footsteps of old Shambo, and I shouldn't be judging him. I should be kind of pulling for the mad scientist. If he's going to keep doing that, I'm going to have some fun watching him, put it that way.
Well, he, I just said right before you came on, Fred, that I thought that no matter what, he made himself a lot of new fans this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
But I also mentioned I also mentioned the fact that you and I won on Xander Schauffele, and
yes,
so did
sir.
So did Jimmy. So that was really cool. I wanted
sportsbook right now to blow that money on.
I wanted to one of the things that we know that you are heavily invested in is horse racing and the Triple Crown in particular. And this past Saturday, we did have the Preakness Stakes. I, as I typically do on Preakness Saturday, was out at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway all day and hustled. I hustled back to the hotel bar and was able to watch the Preakness. Give me your thoughts on how that race went and what you were surprised by, or maybe what you weren't surprised by. You did say that Mystic Dan wouldn't win, but he did.
I had him out of the money.
He
yeah,
did. He did finish.
Little hard outs, what he did.
He did. He finished a very game second. Dwayne Lucas wins another Triple Crown race, which was kind of cool to see, but what were your thoughts about the race in general, Fred?
Well, when we did our show, we were picking our picks. Of course, everybody knows it's way too early to really make a pick like that, you've got to see what happens. And obviously, we didn't know the weather forecast.
Right.
Well, when it's muddy, who are you going to put in the hole when it's muddy? Well, Mystic Dan is one of them.
Right.
When it's raining like that, he is a mudder. There's no doubt about it. So is Catching Freedom. And then what's the other thing that happened? Moose gets a fever. So when he drops out, it changes everything. Not that that matters. I still told y'all that my tribe was going to be Catching Freedom, Imagination, and Seize the Gray. And Seize the Gray came through. Wow. I mean, I don't know what else you can say about this horse. He wins the Pad Day Mile, then he comes through. And not only wins that race, but holds off the Derby champion, who I know gave everything he had in the mud. And I didn't even know Seize the Gray was any good in the mud. And then Catching Freedom, who I'm like, oh, this horse, here he comes. He's going to dominate them all. This is what I've been waiting for, been seeing all year. And he holds them off.
I know. I know.
I was literally shocked, dude. I was really shocked. And Imagination was there. He had it for the taking. Catching Freedom had it for the taking. But the fact of the matter is, Seize the Gray has Dwayne Lucas proves again that he knows what he's doing. You know, for all those, by the way, side note, that bet Tuscan Gold down to 3-1. I could have told you, oink, oink. That horse is a pig. I don't know what the experts were looking at with that horse. I had him in my book marked down. But look, I'm going to give you my top 10 and not say nothing about it. I'm just giving it to you. And this is a wow factor. Wow, how the top 10 has changed coming into the Belmont. I got Mystic Dan number one. Has to be based on a Derby win and Preakness second. Seize the Gray comes out of nowhere with two wins. Could be the number one horse right now. Sierra Leone third, Forever Young, who's still at left town and is waiting to take somebody down sometime. I got Nysos and Moose, the Baffert horses, who still have yet to battle with someone but are proven. Catching Freedom, the hanger-on, and if he's in the, it looks like he's in the Belmont, good God, that horse, I hear you. I got Torpedo Anna, the Oaks horse, who I hear is going to be in the Belmont at my number 8. Fierceness, number 9, who I think can win that race. Stronghold and Resilience at 10 and 11. And that's it. Everyone else, go to the nearest pig roast. now, there are a couple horses that are in this Belmont that I'm seeing show up that won the Peter Pan and things like that, a horse, a Pletcher, that do have a shot. And we'll talk about that down the line. But, man, I'm telling you, I hope you all won some money. I didn't. Imagination hurt me on that one. I even put my 20 on Mystic Dan to win. I had Catching Freedom 50 on him to win. And then, you know, so I didn't catch nothing. I lost big time Saturday. But man, Seize the Gray, what can you say? If he runs into Belmont, good Lord. And I think he is. Can't wait to see it. I can't wait till we talk about Belmont because this field coming up looks really perky. I'm excited about it.
Fred, I made one bet on Saturday while I was sitting at the hotel bar in Indianapolis. I made a $60 ticket, a dollar try, and it ended up paying back like $198.50 or something like that. So I was perfectly happy with that. Perfectly happy with that.
I love it. Nice win, dude. Nice win.
Yep, I was perfectly happy with that.
Hey, is Ike over there?
Ike is here.
Oh,
we are watching the Pacers and Celtics. It's a 6-point game with about 10 minutes to go in the first half.
I know you two are pumped up for that one, baby.
We are going to, he and I are going to, after you get off here and retire for more beach cocktails, he and I are going to get into the nuts and bolts of this series, but I wanted to ask you your thoughts on the semifinals that just finished up and what you see going forward in the playoffs.
Well, the Pacers, you know, the Knicks were so banged up, and then Brunson gets hurt.
Brunson got hurt when they were down 15. They were never, they were not going to win that game.
Yeah, boy.
And
they were a little beat up. The Knicks were just from the last whooping they got.
Well, of course they were. But here's the thing, Fred.
I think the Pacers deserve that champion. I mean, that win. I mean, hey,
the Pacers. The Pacers were 2-1 against them in the regular season. They'd already won at Madison Square Garden when they were at full health. Now, and everybody that says, well, they were banged up, blah, blah, blah. Benedict Mathurin hasn't played for 4 months for the Pacers.
Oh, I was going to mention him, yes.
And the Pacers won because they've put a team together that can withstand some attrition and some injuries and things like that. And
I'm getting a McConnell jersey real soon.
Yeah, he was fantastic. He's been fantastic this entire playoff run.
The emotional leader.
Yeah, and just a real throwback type of player. But Ike and I will get further into that. But
right, that's a great win, Travis. The Nuggets. I hope that. Jokic is sitting at home right now and got flowers delivered to him from Michael Porter, Braun, Aaron Gordon. Those guys should be mowing his lawn, doing his hedges, and everything. Caldwell Pope, because I've never seen four players not show up for a game seven like those four did. I mean, Aaron Gordon, 42 minutes, 4 points, 4 rebounds. Pope, 40 minutes, 5 and 6. Porter, 34 minutes, 7 and 9. Dude, that's real simple on that win. Give the T-Wolves credit. They did what they had to do, but nobody showed up for the two stars of the Nuggets in that game. And that's because there was great defense on those players. But and they rose to the occasion. But yeah, those guys.
Hmm?
What's that? Yeah.
Keep going.
I'm sorry. But dude, I'm telling you, I'm loving this Naz Reid for the T-Wolves. This guy at LSU has really been just he plays so big. I mean, we know McDaniel's good and all, and the other guys, but man, this Naz Reid, sixth man of the year, 2 years in a row now. He's following Crawford. He's following in the footsteps of Jamal Crawford, even though he's bigger. But he is. I love his the way he approaches the game. He's not a lot of glitz, glamour. He's not even emotional. He just does his job. And anyways, I can't wait for these games. Go Pacers.
I love it. I love it, Fred. And before we let you go, obviously the rest of us will do our last call at the end of the show tonight. But
our inaugural last call.
I thought I'd go ahead and give you the opportunity to do your last call here before we continue on with the show. So the floor is yours.
Well, wait a minute. Tuna, something's flying by the balcony up here. Cuckoo! It's a battle hawk, and he says, I'm headed to the playoffs, baby. We've clinched.
I think that was a crab.
Their leader and MVP, A.J. McCarron, win with Manny Wilkins. They 4-0 at home. They go to 6-2. They have first team to clinch. They beat Travis's D.C. with 32,000 in the dome. And I'm going to tell y'all right now, did you know who the starting running back for the Battlehawks is?
I have no idea.
Well, guess what? He likes pizza. Does that give you a hint? Little old Clemson's only Wayne Gallman. Wayne Gallman is a running back. Love him. He had a great game. We got the Renegade Saturday. But don't forget, and I want you guys to mark this in your calendar because it would be so cool if we could go. It's on a Sunday, the UFL Championship in St. Louis this year, June 16th on a Sunday.
Oh, my. Oh, my.
That would be so
I think
cool.
We can make that happen.
Oh, my.
And we'll see who gets in there. But what if it's against Birmingham? Freddie can't lose, Mr. Electricity.
Oh, you can't do that.
Here we go.
You can't do
here
that.
Here we go. Fred,
well,
you...
I'm going to end with this, and I'll let y'all get back to going. But since I'm in Gulf Shores, Alabama, I'm going to say... Roll Tide, roll.
Of course you are. Fred, we very much enjoy having you on the show tonight. Have a great time down there, and we will talk to you again next week.
Will do, guys. It's time for another Mango High Noon.
Indeed it is. All right, Freddie, have a great time, and we will carry on the best we can without you. See you next week.
All right, guys. Enjoy your weekend. Be safe.
All right. Bye.
You there, Ike?
We, of course, want to thank we want to thank Fred for joining us via telephone here on tonight's episode. But as we mentioned before, in the Fabulous One's seat tonight is Mr. Eric Eichenberger, better known as Ike around here, the proprietor of Ike's Corner, the biggest Celtics fan you will ever meet in your life, an NBA fanatic, and we are thrilled to have him on the show tonight. Ike, welcome to the Downstairs Pub. It's good to have you here.
Thanks for having me, fellas. I've enjoyed listening to you guys.
We do, of course, have the Eastern Conference Finals in full swing right now. Your Celtics against my Pacers. But before we get to that matchup, I just wanted to kind of get your thoughts on how the playoffs have gone so far this season and how you felt about the teams that are in the conference finals and kind of just give us your breakdown.
I think it's been a wonderful playoff to watch. I mean, I didn't expect Oklahoma City, even though they were the one seed, to actually get to the conference finals. But, man, watch. They're like, you know, Indiana, those home crowds, SGA, all the freaks on that team. I just loved watching that team. But, you know, you have to give credit to Dallas. I mean, everybody knows Luka is going to be Luka, but Kyrie has played some ball, man. I mean, the way he uses that left hand, he hasn't been a distraction.
He's kept his mouth shut and played basketball, and it's been incredible to watch.
Yeah.
And, you know, he does say weird stuff and everything, but I'm going to try to stay glass half full and, mm-hmm. and give the guy credit because God knows we've got on him enough and everything. But, gosh, that Minnesota – Denver series. I mean, it was so weird that last game. You're in Denver. You're at home. You're up 20. You know, the altitude is should be on your side, you know, but they look so tired. They look so tired. Jamal Murray just – and, you know, Cat was taking it in the mouth from the Joker, too. I give that guy credit, but the Ant-Man, I can't say I remember him playing at Georgia. I don't. So, I think Travis told me he played with Tom Crean.
He did. He did. somehow, that's one of the funniest things in the world, that Tom Crean, on his way out of coaching college basketball, had one of the, like, what's going to end up being one of the, like, transformative talents in the history of the NBA for 1 year, and would they win, like, 10 games that year?
That must be why I don't remember, you know, yeah.
No, he was up for player of the year that year, though.
Yeah?
Yeah, at Georgia.
I mean, he has that bounce in his step that he's not tired in the fourth quarter, you know. So that's just a special thing that only certain people have, and he's got that. And he's not scared of the moment, man, you know. So Minnesota, I mean – you know, since Prince died, Kirby Puckett's gone. I mean, who wants to play there? And, you know,
truth behind all of that.
I mean, you know, so I'm so happy for, you know, Minnesota, you know.
Don't forget Kirk Cousins left and went to Atlanta.
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, that championship, Western Conference championship, is going to be great. As far as the East goes, you know, I'm weird about myself. So I love them, but Jason Tatum can drive me crazy, but he's so talented. And I just, you know, I hate that the Cavs had to go down without Donovan. I mean, you know, it was just terrible. I wanted them to be at full strength. And they said Josh Allen, you know, had like a hangnail or something and didn't want to go in. I mean,
they do hurt.
I'm not that guy that gets on the gets the playoffs, man. Just get in there and give it a shot, you know. You got Tristan Thompson in there paying double child support trying to get it done. You know, you could get your ass in there and do something.
OG Anunoby tried to make a go of it in game 7 for the Knicks. I mean, he clearly wasn't right, but he tried.
I wanted to play the Knicks. I mean, but I'm so glad that our teams are playing because that's a whole different feel. But Travis knows Indiana's my second favorite team. I love watching them. It's just terrible because you got to have that Bally's app to watch all the games they have. And a lot of people just aren't familiar with them. They're going to be familiar with them now, though. I mean, Halliburton, how tall is he, Travis?
How tall is he really, or how tall do they list him at? Yeah. I mean, he's probably 6'6".
He's longer than what people think.
Real life, he's probably 6'6".
I mean, that play he did coming from the left side.
They list him at 6'5".
Yeah, coming from the left side and getting the ball on the right side 3-point line and straightening up and shooting that three. I mean, that's a big time player with. You know, ice water. Miles Turner, you keep thinking, man, is he going to keep doing this? And, dude, he's solid, man. I mean, I really – and
this is several years ago now, but it used to make me kind of crazy that he refused to play back-to-the-basket basketball. But, honestly, with the system that the Pacers play now, having him, you know, he gets – on defense, he's tremendous around the bucket. He's a rim protector. He can obviously finish at the rim, but man, he's a good outside basketball player.
He's turning into Al Horford.
Yep.
Is what he's doing. Yep. I mean, he's shooting with confidence. If you want to stay in the league, no matter, and you know, and you obviously need to be tall, you know, it's nice to be 6'9", 6'10", but you have to shoot it, you know, because the refs aren't going to give you calls
right.
And stuff you don't work on your game and right. Everything and just keep taking it inside. So I'm really excited. I'm really excited for this series. I feel like it's going to be 1-1 going back to Indy, and Boston will get one in Indy and make it, you know, 2-2 is what I'm feeling. But
we were talking before we started recording tonight, and I said we'll save our predictions for the podcast. But I would be remiss if I didn't ask you what you think is going to happen in this series, your prediction for the winner, and how many games it's going to take.
I think it's going to take 7. But I have to tell a quick story real fast.
Please.
In 2005, I go
I remember this very well.
2005, Doc Rivers' first year in Boston. We bring Gary Payton in to be our point guard. Paul Pierce is still young. If you remember, we traded Antoine Walker to the Hawks or something, or he ended up coming back, and him and Al Jefferson switched jerseys. He wore number 88. I'm telling all these small things. Anyway, I'm in Indy, down 3-2, thinking Indy's going to win. But I still wanted to go. We got tickets pretty cheap. Paul Pierce gets kicked out. It's 2005. He takes his jersey off and starts swinging it. And he had a tattoo on his back in 2005. I was like, God, what's that? A tattoo on your back, you know? And Yeah. So we end up coming back and winning this game, and Travis knows the quote here. I stand up. Back then, it was hard to get gear, so I took something I bought from Target and had Shively Sporting Goods make it a Paul Pierce thing. So it said Pierce on the back. Yeah. Luckily, Celtic stuff is block letters, so it didn't look bad, you know. And I stand up when we finally take the lead because it's going to be 3-3 going back to Boston, Derby Day.
Yep.
This series is over. I got, you know, I'm doing my arms out and sit down, Pierce, F you, blah, blah, blah. My buddies are laughing. This series is over. Dog. So 2 days later at 1 p.m. when everybody's getting their hats on to go to the derby or derby parties, only people like, and Travis is a horse guy, so he was watching as much as he could, but I know he had plans that day. But it was 1 o'clock, so he probably stayed home that day.
I did.
Dog, Jermaine O'Neal comes in, I guess it wasn't the Garden then, 2005 we had switched.
The TD Garden, yes, or whatever.
And the Pacers killed us in the Garden in Game 7. That was the beginning of Doc Rivers' thing that nobody talks about. They know, oh, you know, all the no, dude. His first year, we go back. Gary Payton, point guard, man. We got a solid little team. Get our asses handed to us by the Pacers.
It was like a 30-point game, yeah, I think. It was never
was
close.
I know Reggie was hurt, but Ron Artest was on that team, wasn't
yeah,
he?
Yep,
yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Jamal Tinsley.
Jamal Tinsley.
That's a name I ain't heard in a while.
I think Steven Jackson was still there, maybe?
Yes, 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 because the brawl happened year before, yeah, year after or something. Yeah, yeah.
But it was a pretty good Pacer team, but it was not a team that I expected to go into Boston and win that Game 7, for sure.
1 o'clock tip, dude. I mean, and I back in, you no, I don't think people were texting as much and everything, so I just had to sit there and take it by myself. Pacers and Celtics got a lot of good history, you know, Bird fans and all that stuff and everything. Great coach and Rick Carlisle, old Celtic, won a championship with Dallas. I mean, I think he does a phenomenal job.
He does, and this series will be very entertaining for those people that maybe aren't big time NBA fans and only like to watch during the playoffs. As Tuna and Jody were talking about before, like in a baseball, you want to see some home runs hit. In golf, you want to see guys go low. If you enjoy offensive basketball and the ball going through the hoop, this is going to be the series for you. The Pacers and Celtics both are tremendously dynamic on offense. And
number one and number two in the league.
Yeah, and these games are going to be high scoring. They're going to be fun. I think most of these games are going to be close.
It's tied right now.
I think... Now, I did think that the Pacers were going to win the Knicks series in 7. I think that the Celtics win this series in 6, but I think that all the games are going to be very entertaining, and I think the future is so bright in Indiana. And let me just say this. I am also tickled to the fact that the Indianapolis 500 is on Sunday, and this reminds me so much of back in the 90s when there would be a Pacers home game on Saturday in the playoffs, a Pacers home game on Monday in the playoffs, and then Sunday was the Indianapolis 500, and we have that again this year. I'm so happy for the city of Indianapolis. I'm happy for the state of Indiana, and I'm happy for...
Who's Carb Day this year? They still do that with the music?
George Thorogood.
Oh, okay.
George Thorogood, which will be cool.
Yeah.
And I, more than likely, I haven't decided 100% because I don't know how much time I'm going to have this week.
Halliburton just hit one from...
Oh. The logo. Okay. All right, Tyrese. I would like to do a Indy 500 podcast like I did last year. I don't know if that's going to be able to happen, because of a lot of different things that are going on right now. But if I can, I'll probably try to record it on Wednesday and get it out Thursday. Later on tonight, I'm going to just do a brief rundown of a couple things to look for in the 500, just in case I don't get to do a dedicated episode. But so we have, what, a tie game at halftime here?
Yes, sir.
So the second half of this game should be great. I'm pleased that the Pacers are playing well, and I'd love to be able to hear what they're saying on ESPN, because Ike and I were talking about it before, and it really became a national thing. Even Dan Patrick was talking about it the other day. About, he goes, I know it's unfortunate for the network that ESPN's New York Knicks were not able to win in Game 7. Because if you watched that broadcast, it was almost like watching a game on MSG, the MSG network.
I text you about it.
I mean, it was, and I was not watching that game with the volume on. I was had it on the small TV because the qualifications for the Indy 500 were on. The PGA was on. So I had the sound turned down. I went back and watched the game in its entirety yesterday morning, and I was floored by, even at halftime, the Pacers had shot the greatest, I mean, this is a literal stat, the greatest field goal percentage in the history of the NBA playoffs in the first half of that game. And all they could talk about was, well, the Knicks are hurt, it's not a big lead, they're going to come back.
Look at this crowd, Ben Stiller, which yeah. I like Ben Stiller, but man, that don't mean you're going to win the game because Ben Stiller's there.
And so, I mean, it was just, and it was one, and even at the end when it was clear that the Pacers were going to win with 5 minutes to go, all the announcers are, they're not saying, hey, this is a great performance for Indiana to come into Madison Square Garden and shoot like 66%. What a season for the Knicks. I mean, the future is so bright. We love this team. They're so gritty.
John Starks giving players hugs and stuff. And
I mean, whatever. And you know me, if you listen to this podcast, and these guys down here know that it makes me nuts when people say, well, the announcers were against us, or the refs were against us. I hate it when people say that. But it was the most blatant example maybe I've ever seen of a network hoping like hell that the Knicks were going to win that game and that series. I mean, it was crazy to me.
I know, dude. I mean, I get it, the promotion of it. I mean, all I can say is, I mean, let's get Mellencamp to the game. Let's get some is that what it takes to get people on your side? I mean, let's get some Indiana legends to the game. And, you know, because
David Lee Roth was born in Bloomington,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Maybe he can come back.
I'm sure John Mellencamp will get the crowd worked up.
Hey, if this was 1987, oh, by dude. God, that place would go freaking crazy.
They didn't call him a cougar for nothing. Dude, I seen that guy at Farm Aid when I was like 16, and that changed my opinion on what I thought about older ladies.
How about getting like Tito Jackson? Gary,
man, I'm all
for it.
Jim Jones' grandkid.
Is he the last one still kicking? I've been bad on what celebrities are still alive and so on the past few weeks.
I think most of them are.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really hoping that you aren't that you aren't floored by another celebrity death that you had no idea about.
I'm staying clean this week.
I hope that doesn't happen this week. How about in the West, Ike? What do you have as a prediction for what's going to happen in the West?
I really like Minnesota. I think they've built this team. They got people to buy in. I'm not going to sit here and tell you I know the name of the head coach. Do you know what it is, Travis?
Flip Saunders.
Yeah. That was 20 years ago, yeah.
Didn't they hire him back after he left for a while?
Dude, you know the story behind that is Kevin Garnett was going to be the biggest ambassador for Minnesota because, you know, he's mouthy and stuff, but they needed him to do it. But he was Flip Saunders' guy, but he'd rubbed a lot of other people wrong. Uh-huh. So as soon as Flip died, they just you never heard about that again. So now he's like, oh.
Well, I'm kind of floored. I didn't know Flip Saunders was dead.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no, Flip's been dead like 10 years.
Yeah, this is a repetitive thing with you, Tuna.
You've done it again, Ike. What? Oh, my God.
You really didn't know Flip was dead?
I had no idea.
Yeah. He was healthy or something.
Yeah, he seemed like a young-looking dude.
He's in the Bob Saget category, Tuna. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So how many games do you think this series is going to go? You're going to say six. I'm right there with you. I've got Minnesota in six.
I mean, everybody complains about who makes money, you know, Tobias Harris shouldn't make this, Gobert shouldn't make it.
Who cares?
But Gobert is playing some solid basketball. I mean, you know, like I said, Cat, he's what I think is neat, and one of y'all said it outside, I think, Cat is almost like the little brother of Ant, even though Ant's younger. I don't know if one of y'all said that, but it's kind of true because Ant's got the personality and stuff. He had a great presser the other day, man. I mean,
I love his comment to Charles Barkley, "Bring your ass."
I want to say, you know, and as far as TNT losing that and everything, I feel like, and this is just me, I love Shaq. He's 3 days older than me, so you know, as people get older, I always think of Shaq. You know, we're the same age, but man. If you really listen to him, he doesn't pay attention as much as he needs to, and he's kind of a bully, you know. He's been kind of a bully to some people and stuff and everything. And I actually enjoy the Adam Lefkoe night on Tuesdays. You know, Charles is Charles, but the most informative person is the person that talks the least, which is Kenny Smith.
When Lefkoe was local here in Louisville, that was awesome.
Yeah,
I mean, he was one of the best.
Yep.
But. I don't know what they're going to do with that and everything, but Mark Cuban had a great thing. I was watching him on a podcast. He was like, well, the NFL is bigger, but it's because their audience is older and it's more about the television, whereas NBA has younger fans and stuff, and they're going to get more into the streaming because
Does Mark Cuban know who Taylor Swift is?
I'm
just saying, he's calling NFL fans older. We got a whole new demographic this year from Taylor Swift.
Well, that is true.
Yeah.
Can we introduce Taylor Swift to Pascal Siakam?
I could see that working out.
That's actually a good point because I do think that the NBA's core fan base, it skews younger, clearly.
And they go for players more than teams.
Right.
That's know, and you know, I love NFL and the tradition. I'm a Bengals fan. But the younger people, I can't get mad at them. It keeps them involved, but they like players, you know.
Colin has, ever since he was very young, has been a fan of whatever team LeBron played on.
Right.
You know?
Right.
He rooted for the Heat. He rooted for the Cavs. He rooted for the Lakers.
Well, that's it. When we were young, how many of us were Wizards fans when Jordan went there and played?
Not me.
Well, not me.
I did.
You're younger.
I'm younger than you
guys.
But
we were more loyal to our teams.
Yeah. I don't have an NBA team, but I was just such a Jordan fan. And then, like, he's at the Wizards. I was watching Wizards games.
You have to understand that the biggest heartache in my life as a sports fan was when the Bulls beat the Pacers in the 98 Eastern Finals. And I would have driven to Chicago and punched Jordan in the mouth if I could have. So after that point, now, obviously, that was a different time and I'm not the same person now. And I clearly respect and think Jordan is the greatest player that's ever lived. But at that particular time, I didn't care if I ever saw him play another basketball game, personally.
I remember.
But that was just me.
It was weird because now that we know these stories about how him and Oakley treated Kwame Brown and stuff and everything, you know.
But we didn't know any of that stuff back
then.
No,
we didn't.
It was just you know, I just thought he'd, you know, he was an old shell of himself, but. You know,
he could still score 20 on people, but they didn't go to the playoffs.
He had a good year.
He was an all-star.
There. I mean,
he was an all-star.
No doubt about that. But we're not going to devolve into a yeah, dissertation on the
yeah.
end of.
Because we all love MJ.
The end of MJ's
I was just comparing
career.
That to, like, no, you said Colin, and, like, he was kind of
sure.
that age, same
yep,
age thing,
sure.
like following LeBron, kind of like I did,
yep,
yeah. you know, MJ.
And I think that has been a thing for, especially as free agency and the guys, the super team, guys moving around as much as they do now. That's a huge deal in the NBA.
How, what year were you born, Tuna?
79.
So, yeah, so I can see boom, boom.
And Colin never saw Jordan play.
Not,
correct?
No, right? not to the extent that he would have ever remembered him, no.
But I just feel like that's something that young kids do in every generation is pull for players. Because I know I had, like, Shaq T-shirts when, mm-hmm. you know, when he got drafted by the Magic. I was a Penny Hardaway guy, Gary Payton, all that stuff.
Getting
so it was
the
like,
gear
yeah.
and having a phone,
yeah.
it changes the game, you know. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I had to make my own thing even yeah. in the 2000s.
I would buy whatever Allied Sports had on the rack.
Right.
You know what I mean? That, yeah. That's what
yeah.
I was going for.
Yeah.
So,
Allied.
Yeah.
I remember that place.
Do you guys have predictions on the Eastern and Western Conference Finals, Tuna?
Yeah, I'm going to go Pacers in five, and I'm going to say
love it.
Timberwolves in six. Just because, honestly, with this one, I love the way that Minnesota plays defense. I think they frustrate the hell out of you. And
they
some,
do.
They watching that happen on an NBA level is I love seeing it. And you could see how Denver just got broke down. And by the end of that series, they melded in and said, screw it, we're done.
And as we they just, say, like, styles make fights.
Yes.
Minnesota's defense against either one of these teams in the East offensively will be fascinating.
Well, that's the thing. Like, obviously, I'm not like a – I don't – you know everything about these teams playing with Indiana and Boston, but I know that Indiana can score a ton of points whenever they need to, and that's why I think that Indiana can really make a series out of this, just because they can score with anyone. And look, I watched Cleveland almost beat this team without Donovan Mitchell. What was that, like 108 to 103 final in that game? Game
yeah.
four or five?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it can happen if Indiana can keep it close. I could see him making a fight out of it.
Mr. Electricity, do you have a prediction?
And I don't follow it like you two do. I will say this. Siakam is really coming on for the Pacers. He was slow going this last series. Last couple games, he's played really well. He's playing good tonight. I just hope both series go seven games, because that's what we want to see
yes.
as fans.
Yes.
I'll
tell you
I
this.
I think it's going to be the Wolves and the Celtics. But in my heart, I kind of hope it's the Pacers and the Mavs, because I do like watching that match. I think Luka, in my opinion, I think Luka is the most fun and best player in the NBA to watch, in my opinion.
Well, I'll just say this. If this series, if the Pacers-Celtics series goes seven games, I will be extremely happy. And then no matter who wins that game, I will be rooting like hell for them in the finals, because I'm an Eastern Conference guy.
And that's another loyal thing.
yeah, that's a loyalty thing.
Yeah,
I'm an Eastern
weird.
Conference guy. Real quick, as I said before, I want to mention the fact that I was in Indianapolis last weekend for Fast Friday and for qualifications on Saturday again. If you haven't been to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway and you are within a couple of hours of the track, you need to go there sometime. You need to go experience it. I am admittedly a fanatic as it relates to the Indianapolis 500, but this weekend was especially cool. Sunday, Penske, Team Penske qualified first, second, and third on the front row. Teammates for the first time in 34 years, I think it was. Scott McLaughlin is on the pole. The fastest pole run in the history of the Indy 500. and the race is on Sunday. We really hope that the weather holds out. It's not looking great at this time. I'm going to try my best, maybe to even do a 30-minute kind of breakdown of the race and some things to look for as it relates to the 500. I did want to say Collins' only pick this week was he is taking Rinus VK to win the 500 from Ed Carpenter Racing. And we do have a podcast connection. Joe Hedges is a member of Rinus VK's pit crew, and a good friend of mine, Kerry Kieft, who I grew up with, is his significant other. So we always, and I always pull for Ed Carpenter Racing anyway, so we are pulling for him. And with all that being said, I think it's time.
I just want to add real quick how awesome Saturday night in Indianapolis is going to be. You have game three of the Pacers-Celtics series on top of Indianapolis, 500 weekend. I can't imagine. That's going to be a great time, man.
Guess where I'm going to be Saturday night, Tuna?
You better be.
I'm going to be in Indianapolis,
it,
Indiana.
In the thick of it.
And I cannot wait.
Are you going to the race? Never mind.
What do you think?
I guess that's a yes.
What do you think? Of course I'm going to be at the race. So with all that being said, it is time. We're about to turn the lights off here in the downstairs pub. It is time for last call, and I'm going to Tuna first.
All right, I got a number of things, so this is going to take a minute.
Please.
We have conference tournaments in college baseball going on right now. As much as SEC football fans like to boast about being the best in the best, and it means more in football, the one sport that actually is true is baseball. This tournament is going to be about as fun as it can get. So if you got time this weekend, amongst other things, tune into the SEC baseball tournament. ACC is always fun, too. And for whatever reason, I don't really know why, but the SEC is playing with an extra first base. So there's two first bases on the line. One's on the inside, on the outside.
Like
so
softball.
One for the runner.
Like
is it
softball
do that?
Yeah.
Okay,
yep.
I think it's stupid, but whatever. We'll leave it to the SEC to screw up the sport of baseball.
who won the SEC this year, Tuna?
Well, there was a two-way tie. University of Kentucky, congratulations to them. They shared it with their best buddies down in Knoxville, Tennessee Volunteers.
I wondered why.
So you guys were holding hands together.
I wondered why Mr. Electricity asked that question.
No, all credit to Kentucky, man. Nick Mangione put together a hell of a team. They just constantly... They steal bases like crazy. They keep pitchers on edge. They play fun, up-tempo baseball. They're honestly, if they can get through to the Super Regional, I could see, like, America falling in love with that team and them being, like, the team that everybody pulls for going into the College World Series. And congrats to the Indiana Hoosiers for beating Purdue in the Big Ten tournament today, 8-6.
Hot damn.
So, and Louisville is done. We are toast and... So
oh
much. Yeah,
I didn't know
just
that
happens. This has been we're on a bad stretch run here at the University of Louisville with baseball.
Well,
but,
things are looking up.
Yeah, things are looking somewhere. Anyway, and then moving on, we have a new heavyweight champion. Sunday was the Tyson Fury Alexander Usyk fight.
Yeah,
it was. I know there's a lot going on Sunday, so if you get a chance, go back and watch the replay. It was a great fight. Went to decision. Tyson Fury got knocked out on his feet. I don't know how he was still standing. He got worked, and you could tell even after the fight, he said some crazy stuff. He even wished everybody a happy new year. So you could tell he was a little bit off. Also today it was announced that Amazon is coming out with a series, like several sports documentaries. Here's a quick rundown of some of them that's going to come out. There's one about the 1990s Cowboys, which I think could be a lot
that'll
of backstories.
That'll
be very
cool.
Interesting.
Yep.
One about the Earnhardt family, which would be great. One about game sevens throughout sports, all the crazy stuff that happens in game sevens from NHL, baseball, so on, which could be really neat. And one on Chiefsaholic, the famous bank robber Chiefs fan.
Yeah.
So when these get released, I'll talk about them on the podcast, and you guys can refuse to watch them, and we can just carry on, and that's all that I have.
Awesome. Ike, you got any last thoughts here?
I look forward to that. I also, on some streaming device, I haven't watched it yet, it's about the Yankees of 1990. It's called Bronx 90.
I saw that. It
looks,
yeah.
looks pretty yep. good. I yep. like those yep. kind of
That's
stories.
That's supposed to be good.
A couple things I've watched that I really enjoyed. I like series. I think it's on Netflix. Jeff Daniels, A Man in Full. He's like a rich American oligarch and everything, and he owes the bank a bunch of money and stuff. Well, I'll just say this. His ex-wife is Diane Lane, and she has a scene at the end. And if anybody's Diane Lane fans will enjoy that.
Do you have a timestamp on that?
I can tell you the episode and everything. And then there's one on Peacock that was kind of neat. It was called Apples Never Fall with Annette Bening, which – two series that I've enjoyed watching and everything. And what's the one that's real popular now that came out with season three that especially the women like?
Bridgehampton?
Something like that.
I know what you're Binghampton. Yeah. I know what you're saying. It sounds like a soccer team.
Yeah, they're in season three, and my girl loves that show, man. I don't watch it, but it sounds like I'd watch it, you know, so... Those are things I'm watching and everything right now.
Mr. Electricity, last call.
So it's funny, we get the last call, and I love it. It doesn't have to be about sports, and, you know, Ike brought that up, and you brought that up in the past. One of my things is all these guys that do research for movies or TV shows or series. For example, Stripes. Do you remember the scene he picks her up from the airport? The next scene, he's driving her across the bridge.
Second Street Bridge,
yeah,
baby.
Yeah, of course.
Okay. You don't go from the airport across the bridge.
No.
So figure out your facts. There's a new show on called Tracker, and they're in Lexington, Kentucky. And the first thing they show, it looks like they're driving through the desert with the Rocky Mountains in the background. I'm like, that looks nothing like Lexington. So all you people out there, like, do some research, make it look real. Second, Nikki, congratulations, friend of mine. She qualified for Worlds in disc golf. That doesn't mean a lot to a lot of people, but it's big to her.
It's pretty big. Worlds,
She's moving up. Disc golf is like Champions League, Premier League, and AB. She's kind of in the middle. She's really moving up there. Congratulations on that. Danielle, thank you. Also, Danielle, Sunday, she sent me a picture. It was so funny. They showed the snake on the golf course. Not... An hour after that, she was outside at the pool, and she was like, oh, my God. And she sent me a picture, and I'll show you guys after the show. A snake fell off her roof, like, feet from the pool, when she's like, this MF-er almost ate me.
Snake season, baby.
It came straight from Valhalla.
Yeah, I think it did.
Jameis Winston brought it with him.
The last thing I will say, the guy that passed on Friday, he was John Mills. He was a retired 69-year-old. I do not know what his former job was, but he was volunteering as a security guard at Valhalla, and our thoughts and prayers go out to his family.
Awesome, man. Thank you for bringing that up. Well, tonight was great. We look forward to the NBA playoffs here. I'm looking to see what the score is right now. We have the Celtics with a 3-point lead with 9 minutes to go. Should be a lot of fun. The Indy 500, of course, I cannot wait for on Sunday, and all the other things that are going on in sports. I can't thank you guys enough for listening every single week. If you enjoy the show, please let a friend know. Send them a link. Let them know that you enjoy it. Follow us on social media. Want to thank Ike for being here. Want to thank Fred for calling in. With all that being said,
I want to thank Colin for picking the Reds to sweep the Dodgers.
Last
weekend. Did he mean this weekend coming up?
I wasn't going to bring that up.
Well, I just wanted to thank Colin. You were thanking everybody right now. So thanks, Colin.
Thanks, Colin. And so for the big fellow, the Tuna Country, Matt Kemp, for Eric Eichenberger and Mr. Electricity, Whiteboard Jody, this is Travis Carter saying, So long, everybody.